On Monday's episode of the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast with Mr. Steel Roden and your boy Big Flip Livingstone, we are taking a look at everything you need to know from the NHL world, including breaking down a big night of Game 7s in the NHL, Toronto Maple Leafs bow out to the Tampa Bay Lightning, and a whole lot more on today's episodes. Trust me, my friends, you don't want to miss it. Let's ride.
Your Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily podcast on fantasy hockey. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is going on, everybody? It is Monday's episode of the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast, and thank you for making us your first listen every single day, Monday to Friday. Steel and I got your back with everything you need to know, DFS, betting, fantasy. This is your one-stop shop, and trust me when I say we are just getting warmed up. The playoffs are in full swing, baby, and we have a lot to talk about on today's episode. Breaking down Game 7 action across the NHL. Steel, there has been a lot of wild, wild nights over the last 2 weeks, my friend. It feels like I've aged about 6 years. Thanks a lot, Toronto. But hey, that's what we're here to talk about, Steel. You and I both know it has been a tough weekend for the Toronto Maple Leafs and their fan base. Again, the 18-year drought is going to continue in terms of not being able to get it done in the first round, Steel. You and I think, have done a really good job, my friend, of not really tipping our hand too much and talking too much about the Toronto Maple Leafs, the team that we both obviously love. But today's episode, they are at the top of the table in terms of news. They can't get it done again. The Tampa Bay Lightning are pushing for that dynasty title because if they get 3 cups in a row, Steel, that's what that is. We're going to also talk about the Carolina Hurricanes and Boston Bruins. We're going to talk about the Edmonton Oilers and LA Kings as well. But Steel, I don't even know where you want to start with this Toronto Maple Leafs, Tampa Bay Lightning scenario. Credit due to the Tampa Bay Lightning, but the Toronto Maple Leafs let this one get away from them. And I could probably talk about this game and this series this entire episode, but we're not going to do that.
Yeah, this was another tough one for Toronto Maple Leaf fans. I've tried my best to really just kind of sense the game ended, just forget about it until we can speak about it now. You know, as mad as I want to be, as mad as I am, I can't be too mad because this is the back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. And the way the seeding works is it's put the Toronto Maple Leafs in a very unfair disadvantage every single season, it seems like.
Okay. This is the angle you're going with. I like it. I was wondering where you were going.
There's a lot of things, but to me, it's tough. Like, you finish second in your division and you're playing the back-to-back Stanley Cup champions in the first round. Mm. It's definitely a tough series to go to. I think a lot of people knew this was going to 7 games. I had 7 games. You had 7 games. You obviously picked the Lightning. I picked the Maple Leafs. Mm-hmm. I can't be too mad because it's the back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. This is what I expected. But what I am mad about are a couple things, especially since it's Game 7. Yep. You know, Jack Campbell didn't have a great series. His save percentage is below 900. Goals against average over 3.
It's true.
But in the do-or-die game, he gave his team a chance. He did everything 100%. In his willpower.
Yep.
And the fact that they only go out and score one goal – you know, I know Vasilevsky had a couple of incredible saves out there, especially that shoulder one on Austin Matthews that really kind of changed the game, because right after, Nick Paul goes down and scores his second goal of the game and the game winner.
Yeah.
That to me obviously hurts a lot, obviously in Game 7, where, again, it's another do or die and the Leafs just can't get the win out. But I think the thing that really hurts the most is, to me, it's watching William Nylander. I know one. He's a very skilled player, one of the top players on the
Maple Leafs. At a loss for words, Steele. You're at a loss for words.
But with William, I can't watch him play playoff hockey anymore. And no matter how many points he gets, I know he finished with 7 points. He had a couple of big goals. I cannot watch him play playoff hockey on the Toronto Maple Leafs roster anymore. I think he's absolutely terrible, and he doesn't necessarily help his team out more than he actually hurts them. He doesn't forecheck enough. He's scared of getting hit. And playoff hockey is all about the – it's not all about, but it's mostly about the physicality. He is so scared to go in the corners and get remotely touched by anyone on the ice when he's playing. So I think he – even though he had a couple of big moments, his play style is just so off the charts and just not what the Toronto Maple Leafs need right now. Mm-hmm. I think he needs to be gone. I think he needs to be traded. They need to get some assets, whatever they need to do to kind of change their team in the right direction. But I think he needs the player. He is the player that needs to go.
There is so much to unpack with this Toronto Maple Leafs team right now, because last year when you get literally embarrassed by your biggest rival on home ice in game seven and your team is nowhere, almost after that, you knew where the next step was and you knew it was going to be this group of players. And you knew that that wasn't their best game, right? That was clear. They did not show up. And hey, still embarrassing, still ugly, and still totally not acceptable or good enough. But where do they go from here when, yes, they went blow for blow with the best team in the league? I'm calling the Tampa Bay Lightning the best team in the league because the way that they played, and they have two cups. So sue me if you don't like me calling them the best team in the league, because until I see something from Colorado past the second round, I'm not putting any crowns on any other team until the guys who have two get it knocked off. Because Tampa Bay deserves a ton of credit. Yeah. And let's not get that twisted. This was a game seven. The Leafs blew their chances. They let another one slip through their fingers. And there's a lot to unpack. There is no simple answers to fixing this team. But right at the top of the list is William Nylander, in my opinion, as well.
So, yes.
So you really highlighted what I think is, hey, I get it. You said it. 7 points. Great. Couple of really nice offensive plays. But hello, this game goes two ways, and it especially goes the other way in terms of defensive, gritty, edgy type of play now when it counts the most. So I don't care if you get to skate around and score 30 in the regular season, because look what happens. Even a guy like Matthews who scores 60 gets clamped down on in the playoffs. So you better really bring your A game, and you better really figure it out. And William Nylander is one of those players right at the top of the you better figure it out list if you're going to continue to wear a jersey that carries so much importance.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a whole other conversation. But, you know, this is a torture. We're a tortured fan base still.
Yeah.
So maybe we overreact to stuff for sure as Toronto Maple Leafs fans. But his play, I don't think either you or I are overreacting.
No.
And I don't know where you think we go next in terms of talking about this Toronto Maple Leafs team, but also – that power play was not good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Just one real quickly before we get into the power play. And you kind of said it there, right? The difference between regular season and playoff hockey. If you were comparing Austin Matthews and William Nylander, I saw a stat in the game yesterday or on Saturday. Austin Matthews was averaging less than a hit in the regular season, but was averaging over 4 hits in this playoff series. He had over 30 hits in this playoff series.
I believe he led the team in hits.
Yeah, he led the team.
Like he was right there, a hit
with,
or two
off. Right with Ilya Lyubushkin too. So like the fact that he's leading or tied for leading his team in hits, and I watched William Nylander, he missed a breakout pass. He could have easily won that race and, you know, canceled out the icing, but he stopped skating and Jan Ruda or Eric Chernak, whoever it was, beat him to the puck and then icing. I've seen so many times he stops at the hash marks or at the top of the circle while the puck's still in the corner because he doesn't want to get hit. I've seen so many times, a race for the puck. He can clearly be the first one there, but he doesn't want to get touched, so he skates away. I sent a tweet out the other day. I was like, one of the basic rules of hockey, like 101 hockey, are stops and starts. And I just see this guy gliding in the other direction. As much as he does, you know, have those big moments and really, like I said, he had some highlight moments in this series, some big goals. But the fact that it doesn't seem like he has any heart, any passion whatsoever, especially in the big moments.
Yeah.
I think, and we said it, he needs to go. But I think, again, you said it again. You know, in the regular season, being the top power play pretty much the entire year. And the first of all, the officiating in the series were brutal. So there was a lot of penalties on both sides. But more, it seemed like going towards the Toronto Maple Leafs. But they still had so many opportunities on the power play and just could not find the back of the net. So absolutely right. It just seems like every single time in a do or die game, it's just a huge letdown for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
The officiating is one thing. It comes down to this or me, Steele. This decor deserves a little bit of credit as well, because game one was a shutout. They allow 18 shots on net in a game seven and lose. That's on the forward group 100%. Yeah. 100%. Like, Jack Campbell also made those saves in game seven, and I know he could have been better throughout the series, but this game seven hangs solely on that forward group top to bottom, and the big guns don't get it done again. And you take a look at the Edmonton Oilers, and who's doing it? The big guns, the captain, Connor McDavid, gets it done. The big guns in Toronto don't get it done. That's the bottom line. Tampa Bay is moving on. We're going to talk about the Edmonton Oilers and the LA Kings, because the Oilers are moving on as well. We're going to talk about them right around the break. Today's episode, guys, is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, it is where the game starts, guys. And today's episode is all about Bet Online. It continues to be the number one source for all your betting needs and info, the latest odds, news, sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, of course, Major League Baseball fights, and even the next NFL futures. Bet Online is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, live betting, playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and all the action. Like I said, Bet Online, where the game starts.
Thank you so much for making the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast your first listen every day. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Now Podcast, nightly recaps of every NHL game with analysis from our local experts. You don't want to miss out on all the highlights. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts, just like this podcast right here. So if you haven't yet, please hit the subscribe, hit the follow button. Flip and I appreciate all the love and support out there, and thank you so much for tuning in. I also need to tell everyone about Built Bar. They are all about the taste. They make it taste delicious first, then figure out how to make it healthy second. I don't know how they do it, but they pull it off every single time, probably for the fact that each and every single Built Bar is covered in 100% real chocolate. And I eat these before the gym, after the gym. They're absolutely delicious. And I love the fact that it only contains 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 17 grams of protein. And if you haven't tried the Puffs yet, you are missing out on one of Built Bar's best tasting bars ever. Puffs are the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. They're not just a protein bar. They are a treat, and they too are also covered in 100% real chocolate. And they're a fan favorite right now. I absolutely love them. Incredible flavors of yummy churro, coconut marshmallow, and banana cream pie. So go to built.com and scroll down to the macros chart. You'll be absolutely blown away with what you see. High protein, low cal, high fiber, low carbs. Absolutely amazing. Go to built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Once again, thank you so much for tuning into the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast, making it your first listen. And Flip and I appreciate all the love and support out there. So thank you so much. Flip, another, you know, a lot of game sevens this weekend. Let's jump into the Edmonton Oilers versus LA Kings. You know, I believe both of us had the Kings in seven. Another game, another series we had going the distance for that fact.
Yes.
And you know, I thought the Kings could, I think, you know, we both believe that the Kings could, you know, get the dub in this series. You know, obviously we didn't think that, you know, this would just be a foregone conclusion. Like, we knew Edmonton had a chance of winning. It's like a big chance of winning the series. And I'm excited to see who they play in the second round. Where I think at this point we're all hoping it's the Calgary Flames, so it could be a battle of Alberta. That would be absolutely fantastic to see in the second round. And what are your thoughts on that first round series? Because I really thought the LA Kings could sneak this win in.
I think really the weakness of, or one of the things that most people could have pointed out on the LA Kings that really burned them in this series, was lack of firepower, lack of secondary scoring, lack of a true, and, you know, we've talked about all the, you know, Trevor Moore's success, Philip Deneau having a great season, you know, Ons Kopitar having another bounce back season. None of those guys really jump off the page for the Kings, right? They don't you're going up against Connor McDavid, and look at what happens last night. John Quick stood on his head and you lose 2-0. And who does it? Connor McDavid. So I think really what was highlighted in this series is the Kings' lack of offensive depth because, hey, they deserve some credit. They shut out the Edmonton Oilers without Drew Doughty in the playoffs. That's impressive. And what immediately happens to this young defensive core on the LA Kings and young, you know, a lot of young players on in general is they immediately now have a 7-game series under their belt. And you and I have both mentioned in the past, this is a very, very good young Kings team with a lot of talent in that talent pool coming up. A lot of good young prospects. Quinton Byfield is just getting started. This LA Kings team is in line, starting to shape up to be one of those ones. You know, this is the fantasy show. Make sure you keep your eyes on the LA Kings. But yeah, Steele, we both had Kings in 7. That could have gone either way last night, you know?
Yeah.
Aside from Connor McDavid doing Connor McDavid things, that's a one-goal game, really. And it could have gone either way, and John Quick did what he did. I do want to quickly say, though, about the last series that we were talking about, I mentioned the Leafs only allowing 18 shots. That was 18 even strength shots, which is still impressive. 25 shots against overall, but still 18 shots against Tampa Bay Lightning in a game 7. That defensive crew deserves a lot of credit, and that loss does hang sorely on the offensive
group.
Anyway, that's gone now, Steele. You and I can focus on other hockey and golf season and other happy things. Thanks a lot, everybody. But yeah, Oilers, what are you thinking, pal?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat with you again. I just don't think there was enough firepower for them. Like, just looking at the stats, like the fact that Troy Stetcher was in top 5 for scoring for your team throughout this series is a little surprising. You know, the fact that Anze Kopitar, 1 goal for himself. Iafallo, 1 goal for himself. Dustin Brown only had 2 points the entire series.
Yeah.
You are right. They have a lot of, you know, a bright future ahead of them with all the young stars. You know, kudos to Dustin Brown for an absolute legendary career. You know, he has retired, I guess, since the last game was last night. So congratulations to him for a fantastic year. But again, I think, you know, the fact that some of their top guys or, you know, veteran guys in the room didn't do as much as that I really thought they would have. A little surprising to me, but that's exactly what we said that Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl can do, especially McDavid. They can just go out and carry the team, carry them on the back and win them a series. And that's exactly what McDavid did in game 7.
Yeah, and just, hey, they have the best player in the game. So are you ever out of any game? I don't know. With Mike Smith throwing up shutouts, it's cuckoo Mike Smith, Steele. And you and I both, you know, I'm going to go, though. If they end up going against Calgary, where does your hand go? Calgary in 7? Because I don't see that going anything less than 6 games.
Honestly, with the way the first round series went with the LA Kings, I could easily see this being Calgary in like 5 or 6. Ooh. Honestly,
I could see Calgary in five or six. I smell a side bet cooking. And guys,
it goes the distance. I don't think it does.
You know that we record early, so obviously we're not telling you who went through because we haven't seen who wins tonight. Calgary and Dallas game 7 going to be a great one. Rangers Pittsburgh game 7. Going right now, going to be a great one. But the playoffs have been a wild ride already, Steele. And I think what I wanted to mention, and obviously, you know, we're talking about the Western Conference right now, but all of these game 7s in the East, I think just go to show how good and how close all of those teams are in the Eastern Conference. I think clearly the East was the toast of the NHL this year. That was clear. But hey, Edmonton Oilers, good for them, I guess. Good Canadian city going through. At the end of the day, I'm happy for that as a very proud and homerish Canadian, but that's fine. Props to the LA Kings for making it a great series without a guy like Drew Doughty, who is clearly like, that's a cornerstone piece to any blue line. Even at his age, he can still get it done. So, you know, hey, 7-game series, good for you. Lots of experience for the young Kings, but I don't know if there's really much else to talk about there. And maybe we can finish this bad boy off by what were your thoughts on that Boston Bruins Carolina Hurricanes series?
Yeah, you know, you're talking about the LA Kings missing a cornerstone and Drew Doughty. That's exactly what the Carolina Hurricanes were missing with Frederik Andersen. But Auntie, what a series for Auntie Ronta. Like,
yes,
you know, I don't want to kind of, you know, go back on my word, but like I said, like if Auntie Ronta can get away with playing the first two or three games and squeak out a couple of wins, and then if Frederick Anderson's able to come back, that's an absolute fantastic way to win a series. Obviously, Anderson wasn't able to come back, and Auntie Ronta had to play the entire time. And kudos to him because he played absolutely great. But like, look at how great it is to have home ice advantage in that series, because every single time the team at home won that game. So going back to seven of Carolina, I knew right away Carolina was going to win this game because
you called that
with the way the things were going and the trend.
Yeah,
it seemed like Carolina was going to take that at home, and no way they were going to lose. But kudos to Auntie Ronta for stepping in. And, you know, potentially even leading them into the second series as well, because as of right now, Frederick Anderson hasn't been back on the ice yet. So who knows what's going to happen, how long it's going to take for him. And if they can keep going and leaning on Auntie Ronta like this, they are going to still be a scary team in this playoff. So you can't leave out the Carolina Hurricanes.
There's something about this Hurricanes team that it's almost like, you know, they're greater than the sum of their parts, or whatever that phrase means. You know, they're strong as a team. There's no one real megastar. And don't get me wrong, Svechnikov, Teräväinen, Trocheck, and obviously Sebastian Aho are some very, very good hockey players, especially Sebastian Aho. He might be right up there nearing that superstar kind of thing. The step that we saw Kirill Kaprizov take this year, I think really is the kind of thing we need to see from Aho before we can say he's a superstar, which I think Kaprizov is definitely now. They are a great team top to bottom, right? And it just shows you their depth in Auntie Ronta. And what a great story. Never playing, you know, he's toiled on some bad teams in Phoenix, you know, some very bad teams over his career. And good for him to step in, no playoff experience, against a seasoned team in the Boston Bruins who have been in there the past number of years in a row. He gets hurt and still comes back and plays great. Such an amazing story. The Hurricanes are going to be a tough team to deal with, Steele. They are a tough team to deal with, and I think they're a tough out, especially if you're getting three-point nights from Max Domi in 13 minutes of ice time in a game seven. This team is going to be really, really hard to deal with.
That was huge for the Carolina Hurricanes to finally get something out of that trade deadline acquisition out of Max Domi. They really needed that boost. You know, just looking at everything, like, you know, surprising that Sebastian Aho, Teräväinen, Svechnikov aren't leading the group right now. You look at the guys who are leading the group: Jakob Slavin, 8 points in that series; Tony D'Angelo, 8 points; Vincent Trocheck, 7 points; Seth Jarvis, 5; Teräväinen also has 7. But like the fact that those depth guys, the guys on the blue line, really stepped up and helped them offensively, big kudos to them for the Carolina Hurricanes as well. But looking at the way things are kind of shaping up right now for the second round in these series, like, we got the Colorado Avalanche taking on the St. Louis Blues. Well, that's going to be a fantastic series. You know, Florida Panthers going at it again with the Tampa Bay Lightning in the second round. Hopefully it's the Battle of Alberta. You know, whoever even comes out of New York Rangers or Pittsburgh, whoever's going up against the Carolina Hurricanes, that's going to be a fantastic series as well, because everything is shaping up to just continue to have one of the best playoffs I've ever seen.
100%, and make sure you're shaping up to tune in to tomorrow's episode, where Steele and I will be serving up all of our round two preview, predictions, breakdowns, picks, bets, X factors, you name it, everything that you need to know to make a little bit of coin on these games. Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast with Steele and Flip is where you want to be, so make sure you're tuned in every single day, people. And to continue your point on the Carolina Hurricanes here before we wrap this up, Steele, looking at these four lines, this is a very, very balanced team. That fourth line of Max Domi, Kotkaniemi, and Derek Stepan is a really, really nice mix of players. Third line, you got Nino Niederreiter, Jordan Staal, and Jesper Fast. Awesome little third line. And what wins you cups? Take a look at Tampa Bay, your bottom six. Nick Paul just torched the Leafs for two, won that team game seven. Bottom sixes are what get you over the hump in the playoffs. And if anyone has a bottom six like that, Florida Panthers maybe. I could see Carolina, Florida, as the Eastern Final, but stay tuned for those predictions. Those are coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, a lot of content left, a lot of playoff hockey to continue watching. I'm super excited. Flip's super excited. A lot to continue to talk about. And thank you so much for tuning in to the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast, making it your first listen every day. You got to make your second listen, Locked On NHL, from the first round matchups to the second round matchups to each Stanley Cup kiss. Locked On NHL covers the playoffs like no other. Hear the latest news and opinions from local experts every Monday through Friday. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts, just like this podcast. So if you haven't yet, hit the subscribe, hit the follow button. Once you do, you'll get the latest episodes of the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast as soon as they're available each and every day, Monday to Friday, 7 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. Like I said, there's a lot of content coming out, a lot of playoff hockey left. You don't want to miss out. Thank you so much for tuning in for today's episode with Flip and I. Have a great day, and we shall see you back here again tomorrow.
Go Jays, go!